Well, it's been a minute since we talked to tonight's guest, but we are pumped to have him back on the Honky Tonk Time Machine for a second time, our friend Gary Allen. Gary, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Well, I'll say this. It's always good anytime Gary Allen comes to town, and that's the case next Saturday night when you play the Show Me Center in Cape. We're pumped for it. Hopefully you are, too.
We are pumped up to play. We got all the gas in the trucks and ready to get out there.
That's good to know. A couple of orders of business before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show. Congratulations are in order. You tied the knot since we last talked on February 5th. So congrats to you, Gary.
Thank you so much. Couldn't be happier.
Married life treating you all right?
It is. Yeah, we've been together for a long time, so not much has changed, but it feels good.
You made it official, though, so that's yes. Awesome. Very happy to hear that. But, yeah, as far as the concert goes, April 27th at the Show Me Center in Cape, I haven't seen you in a few years. What's a Gary Allen show looking like these days?
You know, we try to take a little piece of every album. So I try to take you all the way back to 1996 with Her Man and bring you through Smoke Rings and Right Where I Need to Be and in Airplanes. And so a little piece of everything. Yeah, we're just going to take a walk backwards.
And you've been doing it for so long. I know you grew up in a musical family, so you've been playing live since you were a kid, probably over 40 years. Is there anything that feels different doing a live show now as opposed to all the way back then, other than just being more confident out there with your experience?
You know, it doesn't. I still love it. That's the main reason I do it. I've had a band, like you said, since I was 12. And I just always enjoyed having a band and playing. So as long as people come and see me, I'll keep doing it.
What I've always loved about you, Gary, is that you've always sounded a little bit different than everybody else in a really good way. And I know you've always had a soft spot for traditional country music, but you've always done it your way as well. How would you describe your sound if you had to put it in words?
Ooh, a little California. I've always been like kind of like the outlaw, a fan of that stuff. You know what I mean? The Merle Haggards, the Waylon Jennings, and but I've always had like punk bands and stuff like that when I was little too. So I don't know. I've always just liked the edgier stuff. So it shouldn't surprise me that I've always, you know, my music has always been on the fringe.
Yeah, no doubt. And lots of different influences have kind of molded you into the type of artist that you are. And I think a lot of that, like you said, California, a lot of that came from Bakersfield, right?
Yeah, Buck Owens, Merle Haggard, big sounds out there.
Sounds that influenced your brilliant career, and you can hear those influences on 10 studio albums, plus a couple of greatest hits compilations. My favorite would either be Smoke Rings in the Dark or All Right Guy, but what say you? Do you have a favorite?
Ooh, you know, I don't. I think once I don't ever listen to my albums, so I think once I'm done with it, I've heard it so many times, I just never pick it up again and I never want to hear it again. And when I do, I just hear things that I would want to do differently. So I hardly ever, go backwards, and I don't have a favorite. I love making them. I'm currently making one right now, writing a ton, and I just made a deal with 30 Tigers, and I'm going to make a record with a guy named Frank Liddell.
Oh, that's awesome. So last time we talked, actually, Ruthless was just about to come out, so it's good to hear some new stuff is coming. When can we expect that?
You know, we're going in at the end of August, so I would say, you know, fall, maybe early next year. Well, nobody's in a hurry. It's kind of fun. It's the first time I've done this without a record label. So you're just going to get an album of just what I think are really cool album cuts without me trying to make something commercial.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear it. Anytime anything Gary Allen comes out, I'm clicking download. We're playing it here on K103, so I'm excited for that. So if you don't have a favorite album, does that mean you don't have a favorite hit either, or at least a song that you're most proud of?
You know, they change which ones I enjoy playing. I think my favorite to play right now is It Ain't the Whiskey, but, you know, the songs that I've written and most proud of, probably Every Storm Runs Out of Rain. I just love the message in that, and that was kind of at a time where I was writing. I really like the dark stuff, the sad songs, and it was a time where I was having a hard time not writing like that, and I wrote that with Hillary Lindsay. And she taught me how to write a sad song with nothing but positive lyrics. So that was one of the songs that, like, it insinuates something bad, but every line is positive. And so I really like that one.
Hillary Lindsay, great songwriter. You've been very fortunate to work with lots of great songwriters throughout your career. Kent Robbins, Rivers Rutherford, Casey Beathard, Jamie O'Hara.
Yes.
Who were some of the best songwriters to work with?
Odie Blackman. But I think Jamie O'Hara was always one of my favorites. Harley Allen, God, there were so many great ones that aren't here anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I knew Jamie was going to be a big one for you. He was a writer on one of your five number ones, Man to Man. And then Odie helped write Nothing On But the Radio. Harley helped write Tough Little Boys. So you're right. Top-notch songwriters. And I remember you telling me when you came on 3 years ago that you're a sucker for lyrics. What do they all have in common? Great lyrics in those songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned so much from them. Yeah, it was so different back then. The whole writing scene has changed so much.
I'm also glad you brought up It Ain't the Whiskey, because a lot of my favorite Gary Allen songs are songs that either weren't released as singles, or maybe they were, but they weren't all that big as far as hits at country radio. Loving You Against My Will would be a great example of that. Another Jamie O'Hara song. All Right Guy would be another one. And I was always a big fan of a couple from the It Would Be You album, No Man in His Wrong Heart and I'll Take Today. Do those songs still hold weight with you? Do you still play them from time to time?
I don't. I play like Half My Mistake. I rotate them through. It's really funny. We always tell ourselves we're going to play all those songs every year, but then I end up putting the hits back in. So now when we make a set list every year, we write down the songs we have to play first, and there's only about four or five that we can rotate out without disappointing anybody. But no, I've had a lot of those. But a lot of the biggest impact songs weren't number ones. You know, Smoke Rings, and I don't think Airplanes was the number one, and that's one of my biggest songs.
Sure.
It Ain't the Whiskey. I think that died in the 30s, and no way I could play a show without that. It's really odd. The ones that race up the charts aren't the ones that impact the hardest all the time.
And it seems to ring true with your music in particular, because you have a little bit different way of doing things, and I think maybe country radio didn't always latch onto it, but your fans sure did, and they want to hear those songs when you play.
Amen. Yeah, thank God for them.
That's right. Thank God for those diehard Gary Allen fans, man. Going back to Smoke Rings in the Dark, my favorite Gary Allen song, by the way. I'm trying to remember the story that you had told me about the songwriter wanting to pin something that Glenn Frey would sing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It was Mark Wright asked Rivers Rutherford. He said, I've got this kid, and write me a song. Think of, like, the Eagles, Glenn Frey, and that was what they gave him.
Wow.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. I could definitely picture Glenn Frey doing that, probably with a different arrangement than what you did. I don't know. But it's such a cool, different-sounding song. The tone to it, I think, is what stands out.
Yeah, cool vibe. He's another just great writer that got to write with all of them, Johnny Cash, and he was around that whole generation of writers. Yeah.
You've also been quoted as saying that country music is what happens during the week, and rock and roll is about what happens on the weekend. I'm assuming that's your original quote, or maybe you took it from somebody, but the more I think about it, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I've always believed that. I don't know if I stole that or made that up, yeah.
I'd go ahead and claim it, because it's good stuff.
As with everything else, right?
Right. If nothing else, inspired by something. But to elaborate on that, country music is about life, everyday life, the 9 to 5, the struggles, the joys that people go through.
Yeah, the actually what happened in life, and it's not it doesn't have to always be feel good.
It seems like here lately, it's been more about what happens on the weekend, as far as, lots of party songs out there, lots of drinking songs out there. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but sounds like you and I both prefer the more real, gritty stuff, and not a damn thing wrong with a sad song.
Yeah, that's always been my favorite stuff, too. Yeah, it's getting, I think it's getting a little poppy, but it's always been turning poppy. It's just more.
And that actually ties in perfectly to my next question. Not to say that it's pop, but your song, The One, it's one of my favorite songs that you've ever done. But I think you thought it might have been a little bit too poppy for your taste at the time, and you had to kind of come around to it. Am I right there?
Absolutely. In fact, we were playing with a loop, and that's the first time I'd ever had, like, fake drum loop on anything. And I fully didn't expect anybody to hear it or like it. And then when they all latched onto it, I panicked a little bit. But, yeah, we still play it in the show. With a drum loop, with real drums. But
has your mind kind of changed on that stance since then?
No. I still would rather hear a band and I think fake drums are like nails on a chalkboard to me. I still hear it, but I don't think this generation does, and I think that's all gone.
And I suppose that's a line that artists have to walk when putting together an album. Songs that you enjoy, songs that mean something to you, balanced out with songs that the masses are going to like. But what I've always respected about you is that you never seemed as concerned with that type of stuff. You just wanted to put out good music. Has that been a difficult line for you to walk?
You know, up until now, I'm about to make a record to where that's not even going to cross my mind. Yeah, I just want to make a cool album cuts. I just want to make a record that you're going to love to put on and listen to.
And that's something that, you know, over 30, 40 years in the business can provide to you. You don't really have to walk that line anymore. Now you can do what you want to do.
Yeah, totally. It's never my favorite songs that end up on the radio, on the record anyway. So I think I'm just going to, I'm just going to make nothing but songs that I love. And I think that'll transpire. I'm sure they'll find something to play on the radio on it, but I'm just not going to think that way is, I guess, what it is.
I wish all artists thought that way, to be honest with you. We'd get so much more real content on the radio instead of everybody just trying to do a type of song that they think is popular right now. I wish it was acceptable to just put out good music, but record labels seem to have their own formula, and you know how that goes. I do have a couple more quick and easy questions for you before we let you go, and it has to do with near misses, songs that you recorded that somebody else almost had, or vice versa, a song that you thought about that someone ended up with. Do you have any of those?
Oh, I think there's a ton of them. I always had a deal with Mark Wright that if we both didn't love it, I didn't cut it. So there was a handful of songs that I thought was a hit that he said wasn't, and they ended up being hits. Crazy Girl, Cleaning This Gun. There's a handful of them. Yeah, and then there's also songs that I thought were kind of cheesy, and I knew it was a hit, but it was like, I don't want to have to sing that every day. So it works, I think, in all directions like that. You have to know that you're going to have to sing this all the time, too.
I don't want to have to sing that every day is probably the most Gary Allen answer I could have expected on that, and I love it. And if I may, I'm going to add one more. If I Was a Drinking Man by Neil McCoy. That was the song that you had demoed that turned into that $12,000 check that, you know, got you to Nashville, right?
Right. Check you out. You got a lot of info here, yes. that was the one that was in the lady's truck, and she ended up giving me the money to come to Nashville and get a record deal.
Yeah, amazing story. Now, the only reason I'm not asking you to elaborate on that is because you told me the story last time, so I don't want to take up anybody else's time, but I love that story. The last thing I have for you, Gary, is I know that you liked the surf growing up in Southern California. I want to know what some other Gary Allen hobbies are outside of music. What do you like to do for fun, man?
It's always water with me. So, you know, I wake surf when I'm home. We just got back from Staniel Cay where we were kite surfing. So it's always something like that, you know, scuba diving, spear fishing. Something to do with the ocean.
Not your typical answer from a country singer, but a different kind of country, I suppose.
California country.
California country. Yeah, that's right. Gary, anything else you need to let the fans know that are coming out to the show Saturday night?
That's it. Just come out, get yourself a good buzz, and hang out with us for a while.
Well, I sure appreciate you taking some more time to talk to me and coming on my show for a second time. It means the world to me, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday at the Show Me Center in Cape.
Right on. Make sure you say hi.
I will. Thanks, Gary.
Take care.
Bye-bye.